It's one of the first blockbuster battles of the season, so we ponder plans for Arsenal and City. We review a bumper midweek of matches, and frustrating forwards are on the agenda as one of us plans a points hit. Hello, it's Thursday. Welcome back to the FPL pod. Kelly Summers with you as always. Julian Laron and Sam Bonfield also here. Before we go any further, Sam, you're going to call me out for doing a Jules. I did a transfer that I didn't say I was going to do on the pod.
I literally went, what on earth happened? Because of course, the first thing I do is check what you two have done. But you always do what you're supposed to do. And Jules never does what he's supposed to do or what he says he's going to do. But this time around, Kels, it was you that went rogue.
Sorry, I just wanted to get it out the way in the first 30 seconds of the podcast because I knew I was going to get called out if I didn't say it. Jules, hi. Sorry. I'll say no hello worries. To you as
so
well.
So what did you do then? Because I didn't check your team.
You're not as dedicated to this podcast as myself.
No, I am.
It's
outrageous.
I used two of my free transfers, the two free transfers I got to... I wasn't copying you, but can we bear in mind that, a bit like you, Sam, I spend my time between when we do a podcast and the deadline with a lot of people doing fantasy because I do the fantasy show for TV as well. And the more and more people I spoke to, everyone was going Salah and I just got the absolute fear. So I did a double transfer. I got rid of Solanke, bought in Joao Pedro, delighted about that. But I had to do that to be able to get rid of Saka to bring in Salah.
Nice.
And obviously it didn't pay off though, did it?
But you didn't captain Salah, unlike me.
No, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Okay, let's discuss our game weeks then. Mine was okay. It was actually, if you're listening to this, and like me, I know the transfers I did there were incredibly popular. Sam, were they the most popular kind of transfers of last game week?
Yeah, they were. Yeah, Salah was hugely popular and Saka was very heavily sold. So you weren't alone in that decision.
No, and if you did do that, it didn't pay off. There's still weeks for it to pay off. And of course, it was the lowest scoring game week of the season so far. It feels like we've had quite a lot of high scoring game weeks. We've all been able to feel quite good at the end of the game week, but it was only 51 points this week. I ended on 50, just below average. So disappointing, but I know there's going to be so many people in the same boat. Jules, it was disappointing for us.
What are you laughing at? That's so
bad.
Because
I couldn't believe it when I checked your team and you didn't captain Haaland.
No, because I really thought once he had the yellow flag, we knew he was going to play, but I was not sure what kind of mindset after losing somebody really close to him. So you just never know people's emotions and how they deal with those kinds of sad moments. And then I thought Salah home to Forest. Okay, Forest can defend. Yeah, we've seen that in the past, but this Liverpool team looks so, so good that I just thought, here we go. And also I just wanted to... hoping certainly that Salah would also do really well, and for all the people who would captain Haaland, and I knew most of the managers would do, or the one who had Haaland, I just thought maybe the differential could be there on the back of playing the wild card as well. So I was actually really hopeful and I was really happy with the choice of Salah, so I don't have any regrets, because I think he was easily it was a good choice, to be fair. I think it was a case for Salah ahead of Haaland as captain. In the end, I had a disaster weekend anyway. Not just the captaincy, everything went bad. Everything that could have gone bad literally went bad. But yeah, the captain was one of those where at least I didn't have any regrets at the end of the weekend.
Do you regret your scoreline though? Because you're not going to get away with not saying
right.
What your total
That's
was.
Brutal. I was hoping that...
Not brutal. The 3-2
the
listeners always want to know our score.
And you know what, as we always say, a bit like dogs, wildcard is not just for Christmas. It's for the long term.
Yes.
So 32 points though. This must be...
That's awful.
This must be one of the worst wildcards ever. Even certainly one of the worst I've ever played. I mean, literally anything that could have gone wrong. For Mitoma missing, like, I don't even know how Mitoma missed that chance.
Jules, run through
Ipswich.
Your final wildcard team because it was virtually the same as what you said, but you did have a couple of changes in it. It was changes I thought you'd make and the listeners probably thought you'd make. Obviously, we recorded Wednesday, so 8 days ago, because it's Thursday now that we're recording. And at that point, you'd got Havertz in, but we weren't sure about the fitness of the other Arsenal attackers. And I thought that might change your thinking.
Yeah, you're right. And I thought he would play a bit more in midfield than usual when he's a nine. And to be fair, he played a little bit more in between being a proper nine, where Trossard was really, and being a bit like an Odegaard role in that Arsenal team at Spurs. So I'm glad in the way I had a feeling that he would not, his game was not going to be about goals, and it wasn't. So my 11 was Areola in goal, Robertson, I mean, the guy had not conceded a single goal before I took him and put in the team.
So it's your fault.
Yeah, obviously. Anthony Robinson, since I got him, he has turned into the most random left back in the league. Ezra Konsa, centre back. I mean, I've got no words really on that. Mitoma, that miss for me is one of the great save by Muric, but one of the biggest misses of the weekend. Semenyo, again, from being outstanding in the first three games of the season to being completely average. Rodgers, again, I mean, I thought he was Brazilian Ronaldo reincarnated, but clearly not at all. Mo Salah as a captain, a mere 4 points. Thank you, Mo. And then Alexander Isak with just one eye in that game, 1 point. Haaland returned. That's my only player returning because I've got Saliba on the bench. And Nico Jackson, I mean, again, Nico Jackson, one yellow card, one massive chance missed. I mean, I have no word for the team and how they did at the weekend.
And the even better news is that Sam and I are now extending our lead over you. So, yes. Jules, I'm 20 points ahead of you. It's the first time this ever happened. Sam, you're 32 points ahead because did get, whereas Jules got a 3 and a 2. If you add 3 and 2 together, you get 5.
Ah.
That's what our score started with. I got 5-0. Sam, you got 5-1. Talk us through your game week.
Well, in comparison, I feel positively delighted with
mine. Doesn't
it
make you feel better? I wasn't that happy with so mine until I looked at Jules's.
Honestly, I was exactly the same. So it was a weekend of absolute frustrations, wasn't it? Like, I brought in Trent this week, as I said I was going to. And at one point, I thought, oh, this has gone really well because Kvaradzic was benched. And I was like, oh, brilliant. Having sold him, that's perfect. And then Trent didn't get his clean sheet, and that very much upset me. Robinson losing the clean sheet right at the death, I was not very happy about, because you kind of think, oh, that's another 6 points. That's great. Like, and you shouldn't count the points, of course, but you can't kind of help it, can you? When you get to the 90 odd minute and you think, oh, that clean sheet's definitely locked. I did have Smith Rowe and Saka. So those two helping with things, although I wasn't delighted with Saka on Sunday afternoon watching that go in. And like Jules, I also benched Saliba, so could have been better than it was, but I trusted the Spurs boys to do something and they did not.
Never trust the Spurs boys.
I was going to say, it was bold to have Pedro Porro start over Saliba.
It was the attacking threat. Fuming. I just kind of thought both sides might score and therefore Porro's got more chance of getting an attacking return than Saliba does. That's why I made that call. And then Haaland as captain. But all jokes aside, had I had Salah, I'd have captained Salah this weekend. So it was only that I didn't have him that meant, and I wasn't prepared to sell Saka to get him, that meant I got the Haaland captaincy, because otherwise I definitely would have gone for Salah.
If I had gone for Haaland, I would have had 45 points at the end of the weekend. So
still doesn't begin with a 5.
It's
not as far as you two. But it shows you again that, you know, your team and my team didn't return at all. It was a terrible weekend. All those players, I thought he looked good on paper and he was good. I think the wild card played well. Mm-hmm. The bench is strong if needed, but just the wrong captain. Even if I still feel that Salah was a good pick, that captaincy just really swung. Is that what it swung my weekend? Because 45, I would have taken it. Even on a wild card, it's not that bad actually. 32 is terrible, you know. But that's what just the wrong captain or just having that feeling on another captain can make to your weekend.
Yeah, there were 11 players who registered double digit return, and get this, only 3 of them were owned by over 10% of managers. So it was basically a week for the differentials. For example, Gabriel scoring over Saliba. In previous seasons, I would have gone for Gabriel because he's always been cheaper than Saliba and got those points. The likes of Sanchez, De Ligt, Watkins, people that have kept faith in him, although who knows what's going to happen with him now. Mateta, then there's Haaland. So yeah, some really different names. So if you're bold enough to go with differentials, I know you two love a differential on the pod. Shame you don't follow through in real life, eh? Let's check in with the Pod Mini League. A reminder then, your code is Q7YCO, the letter O and the number 0. We have a new leader actually at the top of it. TNMVG, please, if you're going to enter our league, have a simple team name for me to read if you think you're going to win it. Their team, Da Flame, and also don't have something that makes me sound silly saying it. They lead the way. They scored 79 points in game week 4. That's way above the average. That's over double what Jules got. It's actually close to 3 times what Jules got.
It's plenty more than what you got too, don't forget.
Yeah, but it's only 20, 20, 20-something points. My math isn't great, as we know, more than me. It's nearly three times what you got. Yeah,
three
there's
times?
20.
No, your math is definitely bad.
Okay. Hold on. Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah, definitely way definitely off. Bad. And unfortunately, we can't cut that out of the podcast. moving on. They sit 22nd in the world. That's a good number to mention. In fact, all of the top 10 in our mini league are within the top 699 Amazing. In the world. So Jules might not be doing as well as last season, but at least our listeners are. Something could happen. You've passed your advice on, Jules.
It's a marathon anyway.
It is a marathon, and there'll be a week where I'll get 30 something and I'll regret saying this, won't I?
I'll remind you that. Don't worry.
I'm sorry, but every listener is going to rejoice in you getting that score as well. You can't always have it your own way, Jules. That's sometimes you've got to have a bad week. True. Makes the highs feel even higher. I'm glad you mentioned Haaland though, Jules, because obviously you kept him on your wild card. He was a non-negotiable, but you didn't captain him. He's now owned by almost 70% of managers, 68.8%. Over the summer, we were talking and his ownership was lower and it got higher and higher towards the deadline. And it's got higher as the season started because even Pep Guardiola said he can't quite believe the start to the campaign he's had. His biggest test of the season so far, Sam, against Arsenal this weekend. Is there a question around him, the captaincy, anything? Or is he just he's untouchable for me. What do you think?
Oh, he's untouchable for me too, in terms of having him in my team. I think the big question is this week, if you don't have him, would you prioritise him in as a transfer versus Arsenal? And if you do have him, would you trust him with the captain's armband? And I think those are, the answers to them are maybe two different things, because from bringing him in this week, I just think that whether you bring him in this week, next week, or in the next, I don't know, 5 weeks, you are going to want him. Like, from next week, you will want Haaland. So in my mind, I just have him this week and be done with it. And then you can stop thinking about it and worrying about it, because every single week that he returns, his ownership creeps up and up and up. And we're at just under 70% now. So sitting at just under 70% ownership, we're going to start to see those 30% that don't have him, I would expect, bring him in. Now, some of them will go, well, it's Arsenal next, I'm going to wait. And I get that, but I think I'd still do it. Having said that, when it comes to the captaincy, it is a little bit more difficult this week with him, because Arsenal's away record in 2024 has been, it's just insane. So they've played 11 games away from home. They've won 10 of them. They've drawn one of them. They've scored 31 goals in that time. They've conceded just 3, got 9 clean sheets, and they've spent 0 minutes trailing any of those games.
That's mad, isn't it?
So, yeah, it's mad. And when you think about those away stats, they will go to the Etihad at the weekend without any fear. They'll just go there. They've already got 3 points from the North London derby. They'll go up there with confidence, having played well against Spurs and completely nullified the Spurs attack. So I don't know. It's a hard decision to captain Haaland this week, because the Arsenal defence is they are elite. But equally, I don't have Salah, who I think is the obvious captaincy choice outside. My plan, and we'll talk about this a bit later on, but my plan was to move for Ollie Watkins. But after watching him put ice on his ankle during the Champions League, I now need to wait for the press conference to see what Unai Emery's got to say about him. His first comments were that he's okay, but let's just see. I'm not sure what to do about Haaland. I'd bring him in this week, regardless of the fixture. But the captaincy, I think, is much more debatable.
Yeah, we'll talk about the captaincy later in the show. But Jules, you're an Arsenal fan. You've watched them closely. They don't have too much joy in this fixture, do they? It's their toughest test of the season yet. But as Sam said, they've got the record to show that potentially they could nullify City, do you feel?
Yeah, they did it last season in April, where they set up to be defensive-minded, and they were excellent, and Foden had nothing in that game. Haaland had nothing in that game. 3 games in a row now for Haaland not scoring against Arsenal in all competitions, the 2 league matches last season and the Community Shield as well. So it looks like Saliba and Gabriel now, because it was not so much the case the season before that, but they know how to defend against him. It will be a fascinating game, especially with that Odegaard for Arsenal too, what they do with the ball. I think it worked against Spurs to be happy with Spurs having the ball and play quite deep and just rely on counter-attacking and set pieces. I'm not sure if that can work as well against City at the Etihad on Sunday. But we'll have to see. What find amazing with Haaland. And he didn't have a good night on Wednesday night in the Champions League against Inter Milan, for example, who played with the back five, who played quite deep at time with a lot of people in the box. And he had a couple of decent chances, but he was just not his best night. Against Brentford on last weekend, the first goal, for example, it's just everything's going his way now in the league. The ball, it comes from a Brentford defender into his path. It's a great finish with his right foot, but it's still not the ball that was due to arrive to him, if you see what I mean. So in the league, everything's going his way. In the Champions League, that first game against Inter, against a really strong defense with strong defenders, super well-drilled, well-organized, a bit like what Arsenal are going to offer against City on Sunday, it was not as easy and not as fluid as what we saw against Brentford the weekend, where really he should have got four goals. I was actually relieved at the end that having not him as captain, that he only scored two, because it could easily have been three or four. He hit the post. Mm. There was one great save at the end by Flecken. So yeah, the league form is great, but we saw in the Champions League on Wednesday night against one of the best defenses in Europe, like Arsenal is, in Inter, that it was just not always the best performances from him so far.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Champions League very shortly, because I'm sure our listeners in the UK will have seen that Jules was on the terrestrial TV highlights show last night, rounding it all up. So we definitely know you've watched it all. I was very disappointed, you know, when they put, I need to speak to my bosses, because obviously I work for this company as well. When they put Julien Laurent up on the screen, or when they name you, I want the credit to be FPL pod, I want people to know that's your main thing, not all the other stuff.
FPL expert, I should say now.
No, you got 35 points though, can't you?
Yeah, but it did finish in the top 5K last year, as we keep getting told, Kels.
Yeah, very
did
true.
I? Still I did.
But you got 35 points last week.
I did.
32, wasn't it?
I still beat you this season, don't worry.
Was it 32? Have I just given you a few extra?
Don't give him extra.
Nah, it's in the 30s.
Sam, just a wider conversation then about Arsenal versus City, because this is kind of the first, or City versus Arsenal, I should say, this is kind of the first big meeting. We've had big meetings of big teams, yes, and I'm going to hear Man United fans shouting at wherever they're listening to. But this is one of the first times this season where we've had real decisions to make about our City and our Arsenal assets and whether to play them. It's their toughest test so far, isn't it?
Definitely. And I think, you know, we sat here last week and I said that I thought Arsenal were fixture proof and that you probably play your assets regardless, and then promptly ignored my own advice and benched Saliba. But I think that was a good learning point, isn't it? Because you have to, when you're spending that level of budget that you're going to spend on your City assets and your Arsenal assets, you're doing it because you believe that they are the best players for not just that week, of course, but for the longer term. So when you're looking at your team going into this week, most managers, particularly if you've just wildcarded or if you are, you know, working towards having a team that's set up for next week when the Arsenal and the Man City fixtures become so nice for such a long time after this match, you will likely find that you've got 2, 3, 4, even 6 players playing against each other this week. And then you're going to have to make some big decisions about what you do with them. And there's kind of two different strategies here. There's the, I'm just going to play them and see what happens. And because if it ends up being a close-knit affair and it's 0-0 or 1-0, then I'm going to get the defensive returns and maybe one of my attackers picks up that odd goal that's scored. If it ends up being a high-scoring game, which I don't really see because Arsenal's defence is so good, then at least you've played your attacking asset. So right now I have Saliba and Saka and obviously Haaland. I think I'm just going to play all three of them this week and see, because it's so hard to call this game, and then use the rest of my team, who are hopefully going to be better this week, to try and bring up the score level across the rest of the pitch. Because this week it was like Smith Rowe, Saka and Haaland, and everyone else got ones and twos. So if everyone else chips in a little bit, then hopefully we can cover this game from an FPL perspective.
What about you, Jules? What are you doing with all of your players in this game?
Well, it's only Saliba and Haaland, and I think I could start them both. Like Sam just said, I think it kind of makes sense because I think Arsenal are capable of going to the Etihad and get another clean sheet like last season, like they did at Spurs. And it's not the same game and it'd be more difficult. And I don't think City would be as disappointed as Spurs were. Sorry, Sam, especially in the second half last weekend. But they can do a job defensively there, like we saw Inter Milan again going back to the Champions League do on Wednesday at the Etihad as well. So it's tricky because you could also be tempted to just bench Saliba and not have that dilemma of Haaland against Saliba in your own team, really. but Arsenal can be so, so good defensively. And I think, again, they will set up defensively too for that game. They're 2 points behind City. If you get a draw at the Etihad, I think you're very happy at the end of Sunday. So let's see what they do on Thursday night, because they still have a Champions League game to play, by the way, as we, you know, in a few hours now as we're recording the show. Let's see how they set up against Atalanta. Let's see who plays where. Havertz, for example, how do they replace Odegaard? And I think we'll have a better indication after what the setup might be for City. But I really expect them to do something very similar than they did last season.
We do have to wait and see what happens tonight. But Jules, just a quick word on what Arteta has said about Odegaard, confirming that that injury is potentially a little bit worse than they first thought, and they're going to be without him for a few weeks. How does that affect Arsenal's attack in general, do you think?
Oh, I think massively. He's just, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but he's just so important in possession because of the creativity and everything he brings. And without the ball too, because he's the first trigger of their press and they counter press very often. He runs so, so much for this team. He's such a smart player that without him, it's a different story. And I think for us in the game, the most important is how you replace him or with who you replace him. Because now Declan Rice is back from suspension, so he will be there on Sunday, probably with Thomas Partey. But who is the third man in that midfield where Odegaard would play? I don't think Arteta will trust a young player like Ethan Ranieri, for example. I think he was going more to a Havertz or maybe even a Jorginho and play Jorginho, Partey, Rice, all three in midfield, which is a possibility, even with the lack of creativity that those three, you know, don't bring, really. But if that's the case, then Havertz stays as a nine. If that's not the case and Havertz plays a little bit deeper, then for the game, maybe influence what we can do with Havertz. It's very interesting. And I think we'll have the beginning of an answer in the game against Atalanta on Thursday night.
Yeah, definitely keep tabs across that one. And then Mikel Arteta will be speaking to the press. I presume will he speak again on Friday, Jules?
Yeah, he should. Or maybe he will do it after the Thursday night game, but we will have the quote on Friday, yeah.
Yeah, when you wake up on Friday morning, basically keep across whatever has happened in the Arsenal game and whatever Mikel Arteta has said. Now, as we mentioned, there has been Champions League and also League Cup this week. Lots of teams in action, lots of changes as we always expect at this time of year. So the teams we've seen, Man City, Liverpool, Villa, they're in the Champions League, of course. What an evening for Aston Villa, by the way. Brentford, Everton, Southampton, Fulham, Palace, Manchester United, Brighton, Wolves and Spurs in League Cup action. Do you want to start with Spurs in League Cup action, Sam? You got there in the end, didn't you? I watched that game.
Goodness me, was I stressed.
In fact, I'm going to stop you before we go any further. This is not therapy for Spurs fans. This is not what you thought of Spurs' performance. This is how it affected things in FPL, because I finished that game thinking, I'm not too worried. I sold Dominic Solanke and I don't have any Spurs players.
Oh, wow.
Only because they are playing well, as Postecoglou said, they didn't play that well last night. They are having possession. They're not taking their chances.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that the game against Arsenal on Sunday, I think you have to look at that with mostly just credit to Arsenal for how they played, because they nullified
the Spurs
attack.
Their start
to
the season is more what I mean. Like, they have... Like Postecoglou said it a few times before the Arsenal game, that they've played okay. They haven't played badly. Yeah. It's been a frustrating start to the season. But then
massively.
The last two games, very different games. I know he made changes last night. There's no one for me putting my hand up. And I'm not worried that I haven't got a Spurs player.
No, and I think when you're looking at the midfield in particular, I mean, I've got Porro and I'm happy to have him because of the way that he attacks. So that's fine. And I think when you get beyond this game against Brentford, who have got a great record against Spurs and, you know, will come, they'll be without a forward or an out forward for this game. In terms of the game, when you look at Brentford, all three of them are red flagged now. But I still would expect them to score. But Porro is there for his attacking threat that we see. Now, when you look at the midfield from Spurs and into the attack, it is quite difficult because a lot of the midfielders that we have in the game, it's a very contentious position, I guess, because everyone wants Salah and you've got Liverpool assets in there and you've got the likes of Smith Rowe or Mbomo, Eze, whoever it is you've got. Like, it's hard to find space for a Spurs player, and you're certainly not going to pay 10 million for Son right now with the way that he's been performing in the last couple of weeks, because if you've got 10 million, you're going to spend it on Saka or somebody else, likely.
Alma.
Possibly. Yeah. You've got to have a bit more though, because he's 10.6, so you've still got to find 0.6 there. But I think if you did want a Spurs attacker, the one that made the biggest difference last night when he came on was Kulusevski, who came on and absolutely changed the game. And that's been the case with him when he plays in the number 10 for quite a long time now. When he goes into that 10 role, he makes such a difference. And we saw that in pre-season. He was playing fantastically in that position with Son playing up top in the nine. And we saw that in the back end of the game against Coventry in the League Cup when he took Solanke off. Now, I think he only really started Solanke to get the minutes back in his legs after those couple of weeks of injury. But right now, I think it's difficult to invest in the Spurs attack. So even as a Spurs fan, I'm looking at that going, I'm just going to wait another week, because when we get beyond Brentford, the fixtures do change for massively for the better for Spurs. And there's only that game against Man City in 12 in there that looks really hard. Everything else should, in theory, be at least games that Spurs can score in. So I'm going to wait a little bit longer. Solanke is on my radar though, because he's in all the right places. He's doing all the right things. It's just, can Spurs create the opportunities to put him in those positions? And if they can, he'll become an asset again. But right now, I think it's Porro or no one.
I'm not going to ask Jules to comment on Spurs because he probably isn't going to be overly positive. And thankfully, last night...
I'll be ranting about Ange, yeah.
Yes. No, this is not, as I said to Sam, this is not a Spurs podcast. This is about FPL. What else did we learn then from either the EFL Cup or maybe more from a Champions League perspective, as I know that was where most of your focus was. Although probably by now, Jules, what is... 9 hours since you came off air, you've probably watched every game from the EFL Cup, knowing you.
Yeah, that's true. I like that idea. Nketiah scored his first goal for Crystal Palace. That was good. It was a good goal as well. And I don't know if there's space somewhere for a front two of Nketiah and Mateta together with Eze as a 10 or whatever Glasner wants to do. But it's good for AD to have scored that goal. You know, go back to Solanke or those kind of players who have moved in the summer. Van Nilsson at Bournemouth, who haven't yet scored, and you know you could see that they're a bit low on confidence. Johan Wissa and his injury for Brentford, bad news. And also we mentioned him as a differential in the shows a few weeks ago. Started so well the season. And I think that's a bit of a blow, although that means maybe more responsibilities for Mbeumo up front. So if you have Mbeumo or you're thinking about getting Mbeumo, that could be a good idea too. Everton, I mean, let's not go there. The crisis continues for them. Manchester United, 7 goals against, okay, albeit Barnsley, but Garnacho again scoring. Rashford again scoring. Even Antony. So that means anybody can score against Barnsley. Antony scoring too, that was good. And in the Champions League, no goals for Mo Salah in that Liverpool win for the second game in a row. Cody Gakpo starting for Liverpool, really, really good instead of Luis Diaz. And that's a bit of a headache now for Slot on what to do at the weekend against Bournemouth at Anfield. Do you start with Diaz again? Do you go with Gakpo, who was probably Liverpool's best player on Tuesday night in San Siro against Milan? So that would be very interesting. And for Aston Villa, finally, we mentioned it a bit, but Ollie Watkins, who scored at the weekend against Everton, who really should have had at least one or two in that game, but then got that injury. But Rodgers, very good. Ramsey, very good again from an Aston Villa point of view. So yeah, it was good for English clubs so far in the Champions League.
Impressive. He was working on Champions League, but has managed just to round up all of the games there. Yeah, a little roundup. Thank you very much. You actually mentioned quite a few forwards then, Jules. You mentioned, obviously, we've mentioned Haaland. You mentioned Mateta and Nketiah, Ollie Watkins. And forwards are quite topical in FPL at the moment because of the 15 most popular transfer combinations this week, 14 of them involve swapping forwards. Of course, some of those are to move for the likes of Haaland, those 30% odd of managers who boldly went without him. But Watkins, Vardy, Calvert-Lewin, and Welbeck are also proving very popular. And it felt like, Sam, game week 4 was a bit of a frustrating one for certain owners. The fact that João Pedro, as we've discussed, was so heavily bought in, then he missed out through injury. We don't quite know what's going to happen with him. He's still flagged. Muniz was benched. Isak blanked and then went off with an eye issue. The list kind of goes on, doesn't it? A lot of popular forwards that we all had such high hopes for are proving frustrating. Are you seeing a bit of a kind of change in the tide maybe when it comes to that position?
100%. I mean, my front line at the moment reads Isak, Muniz, and then Haaland. And I'm looking at that with Isak, and I kind of can't decide whether I'm expecting him to roll out with some sort of patch over his eye at the weekend or whether he's, you know, going to be okay or what's going to happen with him. But he's a premium forward in that he's, you know, 8.4. I sacrificed a price drop on him because I need to understand what's going on with him before I'll make a move on him, because Muniz is a bigger problem because he was benched. Not only was he benched, but then Jimenez, who replaces him, scores a goal. And so it's kind of like, well, you've had all these opportunities, and he's had loads of opportunities, loads of chances, and hasn't taken any of them. And I think there's a lot of people in that position that they're looking at their front line, and it's got, you know, players like Isak, like Muniz, who just aren't really pulling the numbers that people are expecting. there's also that little bit of uncertainty around, as Jules was saying earlier, where Havertz may play for Arsenal at the weekend, and also the fact that it's against Man City. And I think if people are thinking about a wild card in game week 6, then there's the opportunity to sell Havertz this week, not have that problem as playing him against Man City, and then go to somebody else and change it up on wild card the week after. But I also think that there's a lot of people in your boat, Kels, who really want Salah, don't want to particularly captain Haaland this week maybe, or don't have Haaland this week and are looking to make moves on Salah. Because when you look at those forwards that are coming in, you've got the Calvert-Lewins, the Jamie Vardys, the Welbecks, João Pedro, even though he missed also the League Cup, wasn't in the squad for that one either. So we do have to keep an eye on that one. But there's a lot of budget forwards that people are making moves on. And maybe that's because I'm thinking about that. If I do Isak to Watkins, do I want to maybe take my knees down to take some money out and put it somewhere else? And I think that's where people are. People are shuffling the way that they're investing, because there's so many great midfielders right now and not so many great forwards to own. It's the budget forwards actually performing better.
Yeah, Jules, how are you feeling about forwards at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I brought Nico Jackson in because the Chelsea fixture are good for now until they have this incredible run of games from game week 8, where they will have Liverpool, Newcastle, United and Arsenal all back to back. But before that, it's West Ham, Brighton and Forest. And I thought, okay, let's go with Nico Jackson because they're a bit erratic. Chelsea, and they're still a bit all over the place, but they have ballers too in their team, and they will create chances and they will have those kind of moments. And it was disastrous, I thought, against Bournemouth with that yellow card as well for Descent, which is what he does, more than anything else. And now Nkunku scored in that game. And now I'm not sure who's going to start at the weekend against West Ham at the London Stadium. Is it going to be Nkunku as almost a reward from Maresca for the goal and getting that win at Bournemouth after coming on? Or is it still Nico? So this is a bit of a problem, and I'm not sure. And I don't think anybody will know what Maresca will do until just before kickoff, and it'd be too late for us in the game. So that's one I would love to think of. And then I'm a bit like Sam, I've got Isak. I'm not sure what to do with him. I thought his season has really started with the goal he had in game week 3, and game week 4 was not a good one at all for him. So we'll have to see. But I've got enough money in the bank because, as you know me, it's all about planning, talent and vision. So I left some money in just in case.
Jules, if you have a strap line, you can't then change it around. It has to be talent, planning and vision. You can't then rearrange the words.
Oh, sorry. Talent, planning and vision.
Did I say you trademarked it. You have to.
This is how bad the weekend was.
It's your phrase and you've got it wrong.
No, but I'm a bit tired tonight. This morning.
It's tonight, of course, nine in the morning.
And there's more Champions League tonight, by the way.
Working tonight as well?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It's your little girl's birthday, gosh.
I know, but I was with her this morning. You know, she was happy and she went off to school. And then, so Isak to Watkins is a possibility. And like Sam said, there's other calls to make. If you don't even want to spend the budget on a Watkins, you could go for a Welbeck, for example. You know, you could go for Mateta again and have a player that costs less than Watkins. So there's big calls, I think, to be made for a lot of the managers ahead of the weekend about forwards.
Okay, well, who are the best three forwards, Sam? If you were wildcarding this week, you're not, obviously. Well, unless you've got a revelation to come in the transfer section, I'm guessing you're not. Who would be your three forwards?
No, but I am thinking about taking a hit to change up my forward line. So I'd change them pretty much all apart from Haaland. I think, and I don't want to sit on the fence, so I will actually give you an answer. I think for me, I'm probably going to go for Watkins and then Liam Delap. More on Liam Delap in a little bit. But that enables me to keep
your differential.
A load of budget.
Yeah, he might be.
That allows me to keep a load of money in the bank, which I can then use to invest elsewhere because I really don't want a wild card into 6. So having, like, at that point, I'll have a disproportionate amount of money coming up for 4 million in the bank, and that can be used elsewhere. I think if you don't want to do that strategy, then there's a couple of ways of looking at it. I still think if Watkins is fit, he is the best player to own and the best captain outside of Haaland and Salah for this week. If you don't have Salah, like I don't, then I think he's probably the best captaincy option. Outside of him, then I think that there's a load of other options. There's the likes of Solanke. I think you want to wait on him. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Everton are terrible, but he's scoring goals, so he could come up in the conversation if you want to go there. Actually, weirdly, quite like Jamie Vardy as well. I think, you know, the way that they're playing right now, he could be an okay option. I think Mateta looks nice. And we heard from Glasner that he's going to be sharing penalty responsibility with Eze this season. So having that extra route to points is really nice as well, as we saw last week. So I think it's Haaland and Watkins. And then depending on your level of budget, you go for someone in that kind of 5.5 up to 7.5. Even if you can afford it, you could go for a front three with Watkins, Havertz and Haaland, and that would set you up for the future.
You definitely aren't wildcarding because you did that last week, so you've used it, Jules. Mm. We know who you'd have gone with a week ago, but if you had that chip still active now, who would be your three? Feels like we learned a lot even from last weekend, so yeah. I wonder if your plans would change.
No, you're right. I think certainly Watkins' form now, I know there's the question mark of his fitness and the ankle, but the goals against Everton, as we said, even if one is an absolute gift, for example, he just needed to score one, and then as they always say, it's like a catch-up, isn't it? When you score once, then all the others come. And I think we saw against Young Boys in the Champions League on Tuesday night, okay, in the end, he could have had two, he didn't, but he looked so sharp again. And I think this is the most important for him. The confidence is back. So if he's fit, I agree with Sam. I think Haaland, Watkins are locked in if you can be in your team. And then the third one, depending on your budget, is interesting. I'm not sure believe in Calvert-Lewin and Everton for the longer term.
I'm not sure anyone really does, Jules.
No, I know, exactly. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about Havertz
this
either.
This says it all, doesn't it?
Because it's City. Yeah. The third one is very much what your gut feeling is. Look at the fixtures. Again, Havertz, even if you can afford him, away at City, I'm not sure I would go there personally, especially with the question mark of who's going to replace Odegaard and where Havertz is going to play. So there's a lot of things. Wissa is currently the second best forward in the game behind Haaland, and as we said, he's out for 2 months now, so you don't even have that option anymore. So I probably would go maybe for Welbeck. I still think Brighton, I know they didn't score against Ipswich at the weekend, but they could easily have had two or three, so I think they will create more chances at the weekend, and I think somebody like Welbeck could be again on the score sheet.
I'm so annoyed with myself because my Watford bias and my sheep-like nature in FPL made me go for Pedro. But I was like, why is everyone going for Welbeck? I knew Pedro was coming back from international duty as well. And I went with Pedro purely because everyone else did. And like you said, Jules, Welbeck might now be the better option, but worth seeing what the update we get on his fitness is. Okay, Sam, you've already mentioned your differential because he was one of your chosen forwards. It's that time of the podcast again. Very quickly, in fact, very, very quickly, we'll gloss over both your differentials. Jules went for Jackson last week. Sam went for Robertson. You got a total of 2 points, a point each. Let's not have any arguments. Sam, tell us why you picked Dilap.
So I do feel like I've gone a little bit Ipswich crazy in the last couple of weeks, and I seem to go on a load of pods and a load of shows and talk with gusto about Ipswich. But I really do like Dilap. At 5.5 million, I think he's the perfect budget third forward option because, of course, you know, you mentioned Welbeck and Pedro. They're going to cost you a little bit more now, and that point two can be so important across the rest of your team. He's had 5 goal attempts so far this season. Only Hutchinson has had more than that at Ipswich. He's had 6. And we should remember that their opening 2 games were against Manchester City and Liverpool. So they've not exactly had the best start. He's had more big chances than any other Ipswich player. He's also created 3 chances so far this season. Only my buddy Leif Davis has been more creative than he has. And he's also top for expected goals at Ipswich. This weekend, he's coming up against a Southampton side who've conceded 8 goals so far this season. Only Everton and Wolves have conceded more goals than Southampton have. They've also conceded 26 attempts on target. Only Brentford have conceded more attempts on target than they have, and they've conceded 18 big chances, which is more than any other team in the league. So I think Liam Dilap is a nice pick for this week and continues to be a nice pick until about game week 16. Over that period of time, Ipswich are top of the fixture ticker. So I think he's a player that you could get, you could hold, and at 5.5, you can also just bench him in the weeks you don't want to play him.
That's a real differential, Jules. What have you got for us?
Yeah, I think it's a good one as well. Really good one for the weekend. Mine is Marcus Rashford. It's more because I just feel he needs a bit of love right now. And he works with the ownership 3.3%. So clearly nobody believes in him this season after a really bad season last year too. But we saw against Southampton a really nice goal. He scored again in the League Cup in midweek. And I think the mojo is slowly getting back into him now. And I don't, as you know, don't really trust United or Ten Hag to be consistent enough. But I think Rashford individually, even if the team around him is not performing in the best way possible, I think he can almost on his own do something special. And even before that, before the game against Southampton, I thought there were moments in games where he'd been good in the Premier League. And even if there was not the return there, I think his form looked, he looked better, he looked more confident. So Marcus Rashford, 6.9 million. So not super expensive, but not too cheap either. But yeah, low ownership. And I think the good momentum going into this game at the weekend.
Yeah, it would be brilliant if he could find some form, because we know what he can do, and that price is so attractive, as I think we said in pre-season. Okay, then, time for transfers and captains. Now, we've already kind of touched upon both of these because we've discussed whether we'd captained Haaland. We've also discussed Sam, or Sam, you've said that you might potentially take a minus four. So I'll let you go first on this bit and tell us what your plans are for your team in both areas.
So depending upon press conferences, and in particular, depending upon what Unai Emery has to say about Ollie Watkins, my current plan is to take a minus four, do Isak to Watkins. I mean, I could just do that. I've got the money in the bank to do that. So I could just do that. But I also don't really want to keep Muniz moving forward anyway. And I do really like Delap. So I'm thinking about doing a minus four to just fix my front line. And then I've set them up for the next 10 game weeks. And if I do that, if Watkins is ruled fit and comes into my team, I'm probably captaining him this week.
Nice. Jules, what about you?
Yeah, I think I'm happy again. I'm happy with the team despite the 30-something points at the weekend. But I'm happy with the team. I could do Isak to Watkins and I'd be tempted to do that, especially if he's fit and Unai says that he's going to play. And I think I'll keep Nico Jackson up front for this West Ham game and see what happens, see who starts between him and Nkunku. I think he could also get the start and perform well against West Ham. So, but that's it. And captain, I think, would be Mo Salah. I know he didn't pay off at the weekend and Haaland did better. I think this time I fancy Salah at home again against Bournemouth, maybe more than Haaland against Arsenal.
Yeah, he's a nice option as well, isn't he? I think if you are one of those people like myself and Jules that owns Haaland and Salah, I think people will probably, won't they, Jules, lean towards Salah this weekend, would you say?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, definitely. And again, it's a good pick. It's a logical pick in many respects.
Sam, thank you for being the one member of this podcast that doesn't own Salah. you're going to hold firm because obviously game week six, it was these two fixtures, wasn't it, that a lot of people wanted him for last week against Forest and Bournemouth. You're not worried about not having him for this one?
I'm terrified about not having him, but I'm not doing it because I still really like my team, and I know maybe I'm absolutely mad at the moment, but I'm looking at them and I'm like, every week I think you should do really well. And they are, they're ticking over the points and it's working okay. It's not a nice feeling not having Salah.
But never is it? Let's be honest.
No, and you can't have everybody. And that's the kind of the key point here is that I felt better last week when I brought Trent in, having Trent and Jota, so okay, I feel better about not having Salah because I've got more Liverpool coverage. But I think if I can have Watkins in there, if I can, you know, improve the way the rest of my team looks by not having Salah, then I'm prepared to keep treading this path without him for a little bit longer.
For those people that aren't watching on YouTube, Sam looks petrified. what would you say to other managers, Sam, that don't own Salah? It's okay. Pray. Don't rip your team
just pray.
Up.
Just, yeah, come. You can come chat to me. I'll give you some sympathy. Have a cup
don't
of
come
tea
and chat to me, you know, because I'll end up telling you to do what I did and bring him in at the last minute.
I just think it is what it is. If you make a decision to go without him, then like, don't get caught in the trap of taking minus eights trying to fix it. If you can do it, like you could last week.
That's the thing. I got to a point for me. So I feel like I started this pod by explaining my decision, but I didn't explain it very well. I just realised on Thursday night that I could get to him without a hit. And all of the things that we said on last week's pod about Saka, myself and Jules this time next week, I'm sure are going to be sitting here saying, we really want Saka. I'm very aware of that.
You are cutting next week because of this.
I think I'm going to have to because I think my defence is in tatters anyway. And we've just discussed forwards and my forwards are Haaland, Pedro, Isak. So yeah, probably I like my midfield, but I don't like the rest of my team at the moment. And I've got goalkeeping issues too. So probably. But also there was part of me that thought, is it a bad thing if I corner myself into a game week six wildcard? Because we all know what I'll do otherwise. I'll wait until the right up until Christmas, the last point. And actually,
Christmas Day wildcard.
For like the third season running, my plan is to get a bit more ahead of the curve rather than always chasing the points. So yes, at the moment it's a game week six wildcard. I'm not 100% set. Depends what I do this week because actually two of my forwards are currently flagged. And I still have Barso. So actually, I might end up doing what you do, Sam, not for the same forwards, but I might end up having to take a minus four. I don't know. So yeah, to be honest, I probably should wildcard this week, but I'm not going to because Thursday morning I can't. But yeah, I just realised last week I could get to Salah without a minus four. So why not? FPL is meant to be fun. Yeah, I wanted to have one of the most fun players. And had Saka not got that assist, I'd have thought it was a great decision despite them not returning. Anyway, we started the podcast me talking about my moves. I don't really like talking massively about my moves on this pod. It's more about you guys, but there's my justification. If you can get to Salah this week, go for it. It's fun. But bear in mind, if you're going to sell Saka, you're going to be in the me and Jules camp next week. I'm really regretting it, I think. So just a word of caution. But come back to the pod if you want to get through that period of your life, because we'll be talking about it, I'm sure. That's where we'll leave things anyway, because I'm rambling about it now. And your producer, Jesse, he does this thing now where he sends me, it's like, you know, the klaxon emoji, like the red warning. Yeah. We're on 45 minutes. I know, Jesse, I know. And he's an Arsenal fan, so he probably wants me to talk about Saka more. I'll end the podcast there. Anyway, the deadline this weekend is 11 a.m. That is 90 minutes ahead the London derby between West Ham and Chelsea. Just as always, check out fantasy.premierleague.com if you want any more advice, tips, info. The scout on there is always mega, mega useful. Off the Bench will also be back on Monday. It's Harry and Oscar with you this week. By the way, Sam, you were right. Harry was in the studio with me on the fantasy show last week. And I definitely know you've got the right guest this week on my script because it's you. See you on Friday. As always, guys, please rate and review. We love it when you do that, but only if you're going to give us 5 stars. Jules, we'll end this by saying happy birthday to Margot.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, Seven, my little princess.
Happy birthday to Margot. Your dad's going out tonight, though, as always, because I guess you've got to pay for all her birthday presents.
Exactly.
See you later, guys.